I invite Sarah and Alex and Avery to come forward to help lead us in our call to worship this morning. Call to worship is printed on the inside first page of your order of service. Welcome. We are called by the love that first loved us and loves us still.
Today we hang the fourth Advent banner and the light that last Advent candle, the banner and candle of love. The circle is complete. Light surrounds us all. Not that we love God, but that God wonders love us.
And we all sing, love is a flame, while our family lights the candle.
Let us pray.
Gracious God,
Abba, thank you for loving us and showing us what love is by giving us yourself in Jesus. In his birth, life, death, and resurrection, you have acted for us and for all from the beginning to the end of time. You have changed our lives and our future. By inviting Mary and then us to be a part of your story, You have honored us with the gift of joining you in changing the world through the eternal love. Receive our grateful worship. Fill us with your spirit so we might enjoy more deeply your love and its meaning for us all. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Say amen. Our processional hymn
amen.
Is... Good job, Avery. Our processional hymn is number 60. We'll sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 3. We kind of switch 4 and 3 around because I like to finish with the descant. So 1, 2, 4, and 3 of O Come All Ye Faithful in your hymn books and on screen. Well, we had a beautiful opening prayer done by Alex and Avery and Sarah, so I'm just going to welcome you now, a very warm welcome on this fourth Sunday in the season of Advent. I heard someone say the other day that this time of year, they put away their everyday anxiety and put on their special Christmas anxiety. So I hope you come to let go of all anxiety and come into the peace and love of God and Jesus Christ, which is for everyone. And on this day, we think, too, the days are getting longer now. So welcome. We're on the other side of that shortening reality, and now the light has come and shines. May the light of God's love shine in you through this service. Let us go where that love welcomes us all in our prayer of confession and renewal printed in your order of service on the page Mark 2. Let us join together and pray. Gracious God, you came in Jesus, the greatest gift. You have given us nothing less than yourself. Some were a little disappointed. You were a little small. You weren't on our list. Not what we ordered online. Your love, so humble, is difficult to receive. It is much easier to get a bread maker than living bread. But love came down at Christmas to show the poverty of what we thought was wealth. Your coming is a new creation. Let us be reborn in it. Let Christmas, Christmas in our hearts, and eternal love be welcomed there. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, remember and believe that anyone in Jesus Christ is a new creation. Behold, the past is finished and gone. The new has come. Anything that would keep you from life, from hope, from love, has no right to you. You are free. Your sins are forgiven. From this day forward, walk in newness of life. And thanks be to God. Amen. May the peace of our risen Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us stand and wish the blessing of this peace upon our neighbors. I'd like to invite the children who are with us to come forward. Moses has a story that he'd like to share with them.
Working now. I'm just going to borrow something from you, if you don't mind. Okay, so before I begin, I need to ask the parents of the kids who are here, anyone who's gluten intolerant, the kids. Any other kids? No kids. Perfect. Stephen? Does anyone know what this is? Yes? That's right, hand sanitizer. I want to make sure that we're all really clean. At least my hands are clean. I don't want you to go home and get sick and blame it on Moses. Would anyone like to guess what's inside of this? Let's let the adults guess first. Anyone? Anyone? Bread? Why bread? Does it smell like bread? It smells delicious. Anyone else want to smell? Well, it actually is bread. It's bread I baked this morning. Now, I take no credit because I just do what the book tells me and I put it in the bread machine. Now, Stephen, my friend here, he's actually a real baker. I was pondering whether to ask him if he could bake a loaf of bread for this morning, but I thought then that wouldn't be a very Merry Christmas. Now, we're not having communion, but I'm just going to open this up, and I want you guys to smell it. Stephen, do you want to have the kids smell it? And if you want to taste it, you can do that too. You want to taste? No? No? It's good. Would anyone like to have some? Anyone? Sure. It literally came out of the oven about 30 minutes ago. It's still nice and warm. Anyone else? Anyone else? It's got a little bit of butter, but... Okay. Now, why am I doing all of this? Because... Pass it around, please. So, to make bread, what do you need? Yes. You need flour. What else do we need? Yes. Wheat. What else? Water. What else? Pardon? Heat. You need a lot of heat. Yes. You need yeast. That's right. And I brought for you, boys and girls, yeast. And I want you to pass this around because this is really important. See how, is this big?
No, but it expands.
It expands. Avery, is that big? Not really. I mean, it's very small. It's very, very small. It's very, very small. But the thing is, if this very, very small thing is not in bread, what do you get, Stephen? You get a big mistake. You get a big loaf of wheat brick. That's what you get. And I learned this the hard way the first time we purchased the bread machine. I forgot to put this in. And we got this. It looked great, but it tasted like hard cardboard brick. Something that seems so insignificant, so small. Yes?
Doesn't yeast expand?
That's right. So yeast is the thing that expands the bread. And even though this may seem very, very small, very minuscule, not important at all, God uses the yeast to make bread, the wonderful bread that you have tasted, that I will taste. It's very good. In the reading that Shu will read today from Micah, it talks about Bethlehem. Everyone repeat after me, Bethlehem.
Bethlehem.
And it talks about how Bethlehem is a very, very small town, very insignificant. But out of Bethlehem, what's so significant about Bethlehem? Yes.
Jesus was born.
Jesus is born. But most importantly, it's the city of bread. It is. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. That's right. And so today, we want to remember that even though things may seem very, very small, that God will use the very, very small to be very, very big. Brothers and sisters, look in front of you. We see little children. They may seem very little, But God will use these small children to raise up another great generation. So let's pray about that, okay? Let's pray. Dear God,
thank you
for wheat,
for
water,
for yeast,
and for bread.
We thank you
for using the small things
and making them great.
We thank you.
In
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Now, before I pass it over to Hugh, since you were such great listeners, I'm going to make a big gift to all of you. Thank you for listening, and Merry Christmas.
Well, that's good news. Thank you. Some of the abundance from our skating party.
Yes.
Now, speaking of good news, do you have any good news you'd like to share, Sabrina?
Yesterday we got these bells from Black Creek.
You got bells from Black Creek. All right. Very nice. Any other good news? I think Jean had some good news.
We are so blessed today because daughter Eleanor is here from Bergen, Norway. Grandson David Thompson from Fort McMurray and his wife Rebecca Thompson, who is with child and is expecting in March and is very, very happy. We're so pleased that Rebecca, David, and Eleanor are here at Kingsway Lambton with us today. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Welcome, Rebecca, David, and Eleanor. And I hope you're wearing a name tag. I also have a couple of little items. Marguerite Darvill turns 84 today. And John Wayman and Donna Lee have their wedding anniversary next Saturday. So for all the good news we share, would you like to come up and blow it out for your Black Creek bells? For all the good news we share as a family in the light of Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. Thank you, Sabrina. It's so nice to have everybody gathering for Christmas and to gather here today as family. Let us now sing the prayer that Jesus has taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
But you can go downstairs to your Sunday school sessions and have some bread, and you can, our teens can go upstairs to their sessions. And as we continue to be yeast for this world, as an act of growing, as an act of sharing, as an act of worship, we will now receive our morning offering. Gracious God, receive these, our gifts, together with the worship and service of our whole lives. Use them and us, that your love might multiply in our world, and we might grow tasty. In Jesus' name, amen. Esther Reed is going to read our first lesson for us.
Listen to the words of the ancient prophet Micah. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is the ruler of Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he will give them up until the time when she who is with child will bring forth her firstborn. and the rest of his brothers and sisters will return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And there shall be peace when the Assyrian army comes into our land and treads upon the soil. Thanks be to God. Please join with me as we read responsively Mary's Song of Praise in the middle of page 3. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the lowliness of this servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. God's mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. The Lord has shown strength with his arm. God has scattered the power of thoughts in their hearts. The Lord has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. The hungry have been filled with good things, and the rich have been sent away empty. God has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever."
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Thank you, Esther. Our gospel lesson today is taken from the Gospel of Luke, reading from chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. It is the story that is often called the Visitation. Elizabeth is visited by her cousin Mary. Listen for the word of God. In those days, Mary sent out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." May God bless this reading to our understanding and to our living. Amen. Our hymn is on screen and in your hymn book, number 73, "The Virgin Mary Had a Baby Boy." Now, if you look at it on screen, your hands are free to clap. And I want you to feel this, so enjoy. "The Virgin Mary Had a Baby Boy." Let's sing.
Thank you.
come from the glory. He come from the glorious kingdom. He come from the glory. He come from the glorious kingdom. From the glory, he come from the glorious kingdom. The angels sang when the baby was born. The angels sang when the baby was born. The angels sang when the baby was born, and they say that his name is Jesus. He come from the glory, he come from the glorious kingdom, he come from the glory, he come from the glorious kingdom. Oh yes, believer, oh yes, believer, he come from the glory, he come from the glorious kingdom. Shepherds came where the baby was born. Shepherds came where the baby was born. Shepherds came where the baby was born, and they say that his name is Jesus. He come from the glory. He come from the glorious kingdom. He come from the glory. He come from the glorious kingdom. Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak and the meditations, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when we grow more deeply in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you've seen the meme going around. It begins with meanwhile and ends with somewhere in Canada. Now, I know some of you have seen it because it's been on your Facebook page. By the way, a meme is kind of a visual joke which is passed around on the internet. And this one kind of relies on this notion that somewhere there's a winter storm and 2 centimeters of snow falls, maybe in Carolina or Virginia or Toronto, and the whole city becomes paralyzed. The traffic stops, the schools are closed, the army is called out, and a cry of woe goes out through the whole land. And then you go, meanwhile, in Canada. Meanwhile, in Canada, someone's just kicking back, catching a few rays. Or meanwhile, in Canada, someone's mowing their lawn. Or meanwhile, in Canada, and I don't think you can make out what it says on the McDonald's sign, but it says this, beat the heat with a peach smoothie. Idea, of course, being somewhere where they're running around like chicken littles with their heads looking up, the sky is falling. Meanwhile, someone is getting on with life and reality is happening and unfolding. was like that in Palestine. It's been an interesting week in the world this past few days. We have had an erratic leader of an empire and another empire, and the world has gone into a kind of fearful state, very similar to the way it was in the time that Mary and Elizabeth met in Palestine. The Roman Empire, of course, was the reigning power, but there was another empire in the east, the Parthian Empire, and it was gathering its strength, and Palestine, Judea were kind of a ping-pong ball between the two of them. The Romans didn't want an unstable province on their border with Parthia. And it was unstable because Herod the Great, who had ruled for now almost 35 years, was coming to the end of his days, and he was becoming increasingly erratic and arbitrary and unpredictable, like some other international leaders we may think of. And everyone knew that Herod was coming to the end of his life. He knew it too, and everyone was trembling. Some were just waiting for his passing, that moment when they might finally erupt and rebel and throw Rome off and throw Herod off. Others just wanted the economy to keep on going as usual and everything to remain the same. It was a tense time in the geopolitical seething world. Meanwhile, in a nondescript, unimportant village in the hill country of Judea, if you look at that map, the pink on the far right is just the corner of Jerusalem, Ein Kerem, which means the spring of the vineyard, is in the middle of the top of your screen, if you can see the pink. Down here on the bottom right is Bethlehem. And Bethlehem, which was a fairly small, nondescript village at that time, was bigger than Ein Kerem. And it was there in the hill country of Judea that two nondescript women, I mean, we have put them at the center of our Christmas story, but you have to understand that these were not important people. Mary was an unmarried peasant girl in that even smaller nondescript town of Nazareth. Elizabeth had been for a long time a ridiculed barren woman, the shame of her village because she could not give birth. And she had hidden herself away for a number of months when this strange news had come to her. Here in this nondescript place, in a forgotten corner of a mighty empire, two nondescript, insignificant women came together to bear the history of the universe. You have to contemplate that for a moment. However they're pictured, it's a moment of joy. Both of these women, under some shadows, that reputation of barrenness, and this now a woman, young woman, pregnant without being married. And there they were, somehow, in spite of everything in the world and everything in their lives, they felt the joy of the living God. Now, you really have to understand this. Some stories, it's laid out very clearly for us to grasp what's going on, and it's important you get that foundation, otherwise you miss the point. One story like A Christmas Carol. I love that story. I love watching the Alistair Sim version of it every year. But Dickens very carefully begins that story laying down the ground rules. When we think of it, we think of those ghosts, the three different ghosts of Christmas. We think of Tiny Tim. We think of the goose. We think of Scrooge's transformation. But do you know how the story begins? Three important words. Marley was dead. To begin with, let there be no doubt whatever about that. And then, he doesn't stop there. He spends the next four paragraphs saying that over and over again. Marley was dead. Dead as a doornail. Well, I don't know why a doornail or that particular piece of ironmongery represents dead. I would have preferred coffin nail, but he goes on and on. And in the fourth paragraph, he says this again. There is no doubt that Marley was dead. This must be distinctly understood, or nothing wonderful can come of the story I'm going to relate. Nothing wonderful can come of the story. Well, to understand this story that took place in the hill country, in a small, nondescript village, you have to understand that these were ordinary women, real people, suddenly put into a very awkward situation. Now, you may find this hard to believe, but I have never been pregnant. But I have been close to someone who was. And I know that it is not easy. You have the morning sickness, and when Esther was pregnant with Heather, she was commuting still to work at the Hamilton Wentworth Women's Center. She was the president of it, and I was on a rural charge, and she had to drive into Hamilton every day, and on her way she had to pass this farm with the most humongous pile of manure that you have ever seen. And at least for a few weeks, every time Esther came to the corner with that farm and its manure, she had to pull the car over and have a moment. It's not easy. You know the pain in the lower back. The feeling of having someone dancing on your bladder. The feeling of being tired of being the size of the Hindenburg. It is not easy. And that was the situation of these women. They were pregnant. It was in a miraculous way. And for Elizabeth, it was the end of her ridicule. For Mary, it was the beginning of she didn't know what. But they also were human women who were pregnant. And you have to understand at the beginning of this story how ordinary they were, how insignificant they were, and how human they were. Otherwise, all of its wonder will be missed. And so we begin with this strange thing. A God who doesn't work in those seething political realities of the time, but the God who comes to us personally, who comes to this creation. I mean, we know that, don't we? We know that global warming will not stop because of decisions made in Paris or in Katowice, Poland. It will stop because of decisions we make. Because each of us will take responsibility for this creation and for one another and love each other into a way that we preserve this earth. We know that issues about prejudice and exclusion will not stop by some legislation, but by each of us as we recognize in one another our neighbor and a precious child of God. God knows this too. God knows that the world will be changed personally by each heart that realizes they are loved infinitely and that God lives and is committed to them forever. I think of that. This is the spring in Ein Kerem. It is called Mary's Spring. I had a drink of water out of it. And while I was there, our guide was talking about some of the injustice that had happened in that place. It used to be a Palestinian village. In 1948, all the Palestinians fled because of some massacres that had happened in the area. Our guide said there were 16 massacres. He was a Palestinian. Our Jewish guide who was with him said, 16? 16, I've never heard such a number. Four, maybe. But the population fled, and now it's a Jewish village. And there was still some anger. But the anger erupted because of an Israeli who was sitting there in that place where that woman is, and he jumped up and he said, Jewish boys would never do such a thing. And he became very angry and gesticulated, and we had to step between them and the police to be called. But it is amazing, some places, sometimes in that country, the tension and the anger is very close to the surface. All this time later, we still need to receive at that place the wonder of God's love. Our work is still before us. But it happens, and it is a wonder. A few weeks ago in this sanctuary, I was serving communion, and people were coming forward, and the person I was serving communion with, Anne, and I looked up, and we saw a friend of ours in the balcony. She hadn't come down. And we looked at her, and we waved, should we go up? And she waved us off, no. And I said to Anne, well, we'll get her after the service. And after the service, I saw her as the cleanup was going on in the little kitchen off of the West reception room. And I said, we'll serve you communion. And she kind of pushed it off. Oh, yes, we will. And then I got called away to a meeting or something. I didn't know what had happened next. I didn't catch up with her again to serve her communion, but she caught up with me the next Sunday. She came to me with tears in her eyes. She said, you know, last Sunday, Anne and I went to the Grenadier restaurant, as we often do after church for brunch. And Anne had remembered our promise and brought one of our portable communion kits with her. And during that brunch, she kept gently saying, let me serve you communion. And she would push her off with a joke or just didn't want to have it. And finally, she said, oh, Anne, you know how it is between me and God. I'm just not sure. And Anne brilliantly and wisely responded, oh, God doesn't care about that. And so they went out, and in that parking lot by the Grenadier restaurant, over the trunk of the car, they shared communion. And she grasped my arm with both her hands, and again the tears were flowing, and she said, and Huey, that's what she calls me, that was the first time I had communion. Now I know what she meant. She had had communion before. But this woman, and she came to our church after I had the privilege of doing the service for her husband's funeral. She would come every now and then she came to our grief group that fall, and she started coming more frequently, especially as Anne welcomed her and they became good friends. But that day, in the Grenadier parking lot, she received the love of God. It's interesting. Right now, Canada is kind of a ping-pong ball between two great empires, the United States, who in a subtle way kind of occupies us, and the rising power in the east of China flexing its muscles. We have an erratic and arbitrary leader who recently has had the resignation of his defense secretary, and now the government has stopped. And the stock market is shaken. But away from the media, away from the capitals and the cathedrals, in the hill country of High Park, in the parking lot of the Grenadier restaurant, the glory of God bursts out, and the eternal, unfolding, and ever-deepening story of God's love with us enters a new chapter. You have to understand, the story is for the ordinary people, and it's personal. Merry Christmas. Let us pray. O gracious God, let us take time to realize that you are personal. You did not withhold yourself from us, but came in such a way that we might say yes to your Christmas, and yes to your Easter, and yes to your life. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join me in prayer. When I say the words, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, you'll reply with the words in our bulletin, renew our hearts and world. Let us pray. Loving God, a little over 2,000 years ago, you came to us with the greatest gift of all, yourself. Having fashioned galaxies beyond number, worlds and moons, black holes and quasars, millions of species on this world and perhaps others, you brought yourself down to this planet to live within the gurgling, squishy, warm confines of a woman's womb. You came with the gift of all that you are to be a human being, to show us that we can be at home with you because you were at home with us, in us, as a child yet to be born. We were and are blessed by your presence among us. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus.
Renew our hearts and world.
Generous God, we ask that your blessing be extended to all the places today where the Christmas spirit seems so distant. We pray that your blessing be felt in hospitals and hospices. May those who drink cold coffee by bedsides of loved ones feel your presence and comfort in the days to come. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus.
Renew.
We ask that your presence be felt under dripping bridges, within cardboard walls and flapping blue tarps where the homeless live. Like you, they have been denied housing and remember better Christmases. Be with them and give us the courage to be their advocates so no one needs sleep outside at Christmas or at any time of the year. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus.
Renew our hearts and world.
Loving God, we ask that you extend your blessing to all those who will be traveling in the days of Christmas ahead. Help us be safe on the roads and keep others safe as we traverse this glorious world lit by your stars above. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Loving God, we ask that you extend your help to people in this congregation, to Daria, still battling cancer after 10 years, and to all those women here and elsewhere who are with child. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. And now I invite you to join with God in the silence of your own prayers. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. We ask this all in the name of the one who is our guiding star, who came as a helpless infant, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now please join us in singing our final hymn, Voices United, number 58, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. The words will be on the screen and in your books.
For our commissioning and blessing, we will be singing the Hallelujah Chorus once again, and I invite anyone who would like to join the choir to come forward and find their section and just jump right in. I mention again this Christmas Eve, which is tomorrow night, we have our three services, one at 4 o'clock for the youngest ones, 5:30 for families and young at heart, and at 10:30 our candlelight communion. And next Sunday, December 30th, actually Stephen Milton is going to be preaching, and you're welcome to come. I think Stephen's going to be doing a reflection on Christmas carols. So, welcome and come forward. And meanwhile, in Canada, in every corner of the world, with everyone who feels ordinary or lost or abandoned, God's living love in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit is seeking you out, that you too might be part of the unfolding and deepening story of the glory and love of God. Receive. It's personal. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit rest and remain upon each one of you this day and forever and ever and ever. Amen. I got a bass here.